down from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 8 through 15. And then we'll read Revelation 21, verse 1. Genesis 3, 8 through 15 reads, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? Check the woman out. And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Revelation 21, 1. And it reads, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 14 again. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. For a subject this morning, I want to start with this subject this morning. The devil started it, but God is going to finish it. Amen. Amen. You can have this old world. But I say Jesus for me. This morning, church, going to go into prayer. Father God, again, I come to you, God, as humble as I know how, Father. Father, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. I ask you to touch my tongue, Father, anoint my head from head to toe, Father. And Father, not let your word go out void. Let it touch somebody so they may walk anew and have a closer relationship with you. These things I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan started this. But God is going to finish this. Right. See, God, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Right. And the earth was without void, and the darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. Right. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. Mm-hmm. See, everything that God created for mankind in the beginning was good. There was nothing bad in the beginning when God created everything. Because each time God did something, he stood back and looked at it and saw that it was good.
That's right. That's right.
God saw that it was good because, listen, the God that we serve is a good God. Yeah. See, the God that we serve is a God of love. He's a God of kindness. He's a God of patience. He's most of all the God of grace and mercy. Yeah. And see, we shouldn't put nothing bad in the same sentence with God. It just don't go right. Because that right there is something that should never, ever come out of our mouth. Anything to say God is bad, God did this, God did that. No, he did not. Only thing, everything that God did was good. See, the first three chapters of the book of Genesis talks about the goodness of God. See, God did all this work for, he built the earth. He put the moon where it need to be. He put the sun where it should be. He put the stars where it need to be. He even told the waters to recede back so the land could come up. And then he let the vegetation grow from the ground. See, God is just that good. And then he did not charge man a thing when he gave it to man. He gave it all to man. But see, nowadays we got to buy a piece of land. And you know that piece of land costs us 30 years of heartaches and pain. But see, that's not God's fault, or that's not God's problem. That's the way the world is set up because of what Satan did in the garden with Eve. See, when Satan came upon Adam and Eve in the garden, he tricked them. Satan called God a straight out lie. Now, see, that wouldn't go over well nowadays because God is not a liar. Because, see, all of us at one time or another had to use God and we had to call on God. See, have you ever had to call on God and he showed up for you? Did God give you a promise and he saw it through? Did God tell you something that he was going to do and he didn't do it? No, he didn't. Everything that God has told me, he has done it. Everything God has promised me, he has given me. Everything that God has opened, the doors that God has opened up for me, he has been right there with me all the time. He did not put me there to go through any door by myself, and he did not give me a promise that I could not achieve on my own. And see, everything that God gives us is going to be easy. Nothing that God gives you is going to be hard, because that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that is good, church. See, that stuff that you're going through, that's all on Satan this morning, church. See, we got to realize that who to put the blame on sometimes. See, sometimes we put the blame on God. Oh, I hate because such and such passed away. I hate because such and such is sick. I hate because I'm going through these financial difficulties. I hate because my child is this and I hate because it's that. What is going on, God? That's what we say. We shouldn't be saying that. We should already know the answer. Because the answer is clearly written in the book of Genesis. Because when God threw Adam and Eve out of the garden, he threw them out with some instructions. He threw them out of the garden, and he gave them a covering when he sacrificed a lamb to cover them up. See, the thing about, I don't understand about Satan, why did you get jealous about two naked people in a garden? Think about it. If he got so jealous about two naked people in a garden, think of how jealous he is about you. See, every time, the Bible also said that we are made in God's image. And every time the devil looks at you, he sees God. And you're supposed to walk around like you have the image of God on you. But sometimes the devil get confused. Are you with God or are you with me? See, the Bible tells us of that the children that are going to be born that's not believers of God are the seed of Satan. And the ones that are born that have the seed of the woman are the seed of Jesus Christ. And see, that's what's going to happen in the end. God and Jesus are going to have, the devil and the demons and God are going to have this battle. And guess who's going to be the winner? God is going to be the winner. God is going to be the winner. Just as you read in Revelation 21. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know, there are questions about every time things was going on in life nowadays. Why this? Why that? Why we go through this? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? It's right here in the Bible, church. Genesis chapter 3. This is why. This is why we go through so much hurt. This is why we go through so much pain. Because listen to verse 15, where God told Eve, now, this is God speaking. This is not prophet Isaiah. This is not prophet Jeremiah. This is not even Jesus speaking. This is God speaking. God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Okay? Satan's seeds are the demons and her seed are the followers of Christ. It shall bruise thy in the head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. All right. All right. Mm. I read that out of the Bible. I didn't come that out of my mouth. I read that out of the Bible. And sometimes we got to be follow the Bible if we're going to want blessings for God. Uh-huh. It's when we're out of order that we don't get the blessings for God. Yeah. One thing I know, 16a, is every woman in here that has had a child went through a hard labor. Oh, yeah. They felt those pains. See, in the beginning, you weren't supposed to feel nothing at all when God was going to do it. Right. But see, because of the sin in the garden, God allowed the pains to come on. The pains to come on that's so barren, sometimes I have heard that it's almost close to death that when a woman carries a baby. I have heard that. And then God turned around and told Adam, and he said, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field.
Yes.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Man don't work, he shall not eat. So in the sweat of your face, that's where you eating, that's why you eating bread, because you go to work every day, and then you sweat, you complain, your back hurt, your feet hurt, everything hurts on you because of you had to go to work. See, God planned this thing in the beginning that we did not have to do all this, church. But see, all this stuff that we're doing now is because this one incident that went on in the garden. Sickness, death. Walking around with canes, bent over, back pains, lying on one another, hating one another, racism. Anything that's bad came up that day. Because if you go back to chapter 1 and 2, everything that God did was good. But that one little thing, the consequence of that one little thing, causes all of us to suffer some bad things. It causes all of us to go through some hurtful things. Right now, we're all going through a hurtful trial right here at Fire Chapel. Blame the devil about it. Don't follow the devil. Blame him. Blame the devil about it. And the way to get mad at the devil is to follow Christ more. The way to get mad at the devil is do more what God wants you to do. The way to make the devil mad is to throw off some old habits that you had and start following the new habits of Jesus Christ. The way to throw the devil off is to allow Christ in you to reside up and to shine bright everywhere you go. The way to make the devil mad is let that image that you're made in show more than the old image that you used to show. You know, if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the devil. Make him mad more and more each day. Get on the devil, get on the Lord's side, and everything going to be all right. You know, if you're so mad and so upset about something that's went on in your life, then start calling on Jesus more. Start praying more. Start reading more. Start studying more. Stay away from certain places that you used to go. Follow what God wants you to do. And then Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living things. Until Adam also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Mm-hmm. Unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Unconditional love. Uh-huh. Out of all that they did right then that day, God still made clothes for them. All right. To cover them. Mm-hmm. Now, this right here is the reason I come up with this, reason God gave me this message to come to you this day, this first day of December, uh-huh, is because this is the reason for the season. Actually, you can blame the devil for Christmas. When we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating the birth of Christ. When we celebrate Christmas, it's a result of what's going on right here. Because right here it says, I will put enmity between thy and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Talking about Jesus Christ. God right there prophesies right there what's going to happen down the road. God started it right there what's going to happen down the road. He could have immediately destroyed all three of them right there in the garden and started all over. But he did not. He had this unconditional love so that the rest of the world can be saved. Why should I take these three away when there's other in their bloodline that's coming through there? See, God had already seen what was supposed to happen through the bloodline. And he had all his plans for everybody that was supposed to happen through the bloodline. But if he had ended Adam and Eve that day, he would have ended all of our lives in here. All right. But none of us in here have been alive today because we came through the bloodline of Adam and Eve. Remember what I just said? Unto Adam also, wait a minute, and Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. You're all living, right? So that's your mother. That's where we all started from that bloodline right there. Imagine if God had just stopped it right there, stopped that bloodline right there. Where would we be? That's that grace and mercy that God showed up on us right then. Imagine if he just had to close the womb up and not allow her to have no more kids. That would have been it right there. Where would we be? What would all the Israelites, the Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, what would they be? None of that would have came to pass. All that we read in the 66 books started right here in Genesis chapter 3. See, Genesis chapter 3 is something that we should turn to each and every week, each and every time we're going through a problem or a situation. We can get up here and preach all week hard about everything, about the joy of the Lord, about the goodness of God, about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But if we go to Genesis chapter 3, we see the full great grace and mercy of God. We see how he allowed us to blossom and to grow like we're growing, to mature and to evolve. Some folks say evolve, but I don't believe in that. Some folks say evolve like we are, because God has allowed us to make choices on our own. Because, see, he could have forced all our hand to serve him right then. But, see, God don't force your hand. He gives you the opportunity to make your own choice. He gives you the opportunity to, even he gives you the opportunity to be on his side, or you can be on the other side. And when you're on the other side, he don't even come over there to pull you off. He waits for you to come to him because he's already there. The choice is yours. You know, I seen that commercial where it says the choice is yours. And the choice is ours, church, this morning, whether we want to be on the Lord's side or on the devil's side. We already know what God is going to do. We know that he's going to come back. We know he's going to win the victory. There's a song that says, victory is mine. Victory shall be mine. Victory, when I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine. When I think of the Lord and I think of that song all the time, victory is ours, church. All we got to do is accept and believe what God has done for us. Any believers in the house this morning? You know, if you're a believer, say so. And here in the book of Genesis, it can be so confusing also. Because now, I need for you to see this right here. You got Adam, a man, Eve, a woman, and a devil in the prison of a serpent. Our belief has to be to that point to where we really do believe that. We really do believe that the serpent spoke to Eve. We really do believe that the serpent convinced Eve to go against God. We really do believe that the serpent called God a liar. We really have to believe that. And we also have to believe that the voice of the Lord walked through the garden in the cool of the day. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you something about this cool of the day when God came through the garden. See, when he came through that garden in the cool of the day, it's just like when you've been somewhere, you've had a good time, and you show up somewhere at home, and your house is all at a chaos. And as soon as you walk in that house, and your house is all at a chaos, that good time you just had or that relaxing moment you just had all went away. So you immediately start saying stuff to the person that has caused the chaos in your home. See, this is what God had happen in the cool of the day. And in the cool of the day, God, he hold himself because he had to ask the questions. What have you done? Who told you you was naked? And then he also told the devil he going to be cursed to the belly, cursed to the ground and crawling up on his belly. See, this morning, church, God is showing us right now that he is still sitting on the throne. God is showing us right now that he is still a true follower and a true God. See, and then in 1 John chapter 3, God, 1 John chapter 3, God tells us, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doeth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has the hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth the sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Like I said, God is good. Everything that God has done for us is good. The only thing in the earth that's corrupt is mankind.
That's right.
Everything else that God created is doing what it's supposed to do. The sun shines in the daytime. The moon brights up the night. The stars got the starry skies lit up at nighttime. The waters recede. Sometimes we get a little storm. The rain comes down and the vegetation grows up. The trees provide shades and the birds say tweet, tweet, tweet. The dogs bark and the cat meow. And the fish swim and the birds fly. Everything else is doing what it's supposed to do, so why not man? Mankind is the only ones that's corrupt and not doing what we're supposed to do. See, we got ourselves, we got the wrong thing. And see, God really wants us to get back to Eden. And I don't know how you're going to get back to Eden not doing what God wants you to do. See, we got this thing all wrong. We think we're going to make it to Eden on our own self. When we're really not, we need God. Now, to get back to Eden, you're going to have to give up some things. To get back to Eden, you're going to have to follow the path that God puts you on. To get back to Eden, you're going to have to hate some wrong and love the right. To get back to Eden, you're going to have to stand on the battlefield and stand strong. To get back to Eden, you're going to have to do what God wants you to do. Just like it says right in the scripture right here, when God told a man to be ruler over the woman. With all this new modern age stuff, I ain't getting on women hard this morning because I'm going to get on some men too in here in a minute. But sometimes to get back to Eden, you're going to just have to do what God told you to do. If God told you to allow that man that you pick to be whoever he is to you, and God has allowed you to wake up each and every morning, and God has put you in a body of a female, God says the man is the ruler. Now, see, you're saying that's what he said. You're saying that's what he said. That ain't what I said. That's what the Bible says. See, it's just that hard. Because sometimes it is hard to do what God wants us to do. Sometimes it is hard for the female gender to allow the male gender to be over them. That is hard. I can understand that because some of y'all men ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing no way. You know, I'm gonna get there, get to the point. But you know, Adam, right here, he was wrong too. Because see, he was the one who was given the charge, and he knew that fruit was from the tree. He knew that God had told him what to do. He knew that God had told him that you shall not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He knew that. But as soon as she handed it to him, he lost his manhood. I'm going to put it like that. He lost his manhood. Because any time that you allow someone or something to get you to go against what God has told you to do, you have lost your manhood or womanhood. And you can't blame nobody but yourself. And then when God go calling him, he go running and hiding. And then because he's naked. Man, you've been naked all the time talking to God. But right this moment, he realizes that he's naked. Well, what it really is, he felt the shame. How many times have you done something and you felt the shame? And you knew the moment you did it, if somebody find this out, it's going to be bad. If somebody find out that I drank too much tonight, or somebody see me like this today, it's going to be bad. How many times have you put your own self in that situation? All because you didn't follow the word of God. Now, church, I ain't here to be hard on you this morning. I'm just here to help you see Reverend Kate again. That's all I'm here for. Because, see, he done already did what he supposed to do. We got to do what we supposed to do to get on the other side. But, see, it would be a shameful thing to get there and see him standing there and God turn you the other way. You think you're crying now. You'll cry forever then. All because you didn't follow the simple directions that God wants us to follow. See, right here it says in 1 John 3, it says Jesus has no sin in him. Jesus has no badness in him. God has no badness in him. Now, I'm not saying that we should be perfect, but I'm saying that we should practice to try to do right. We should practice what we preach. We should practice what we hear sometime. And we should most definitely practice to walk like Christ. You know, that used to be a band that a lot of people used to wear on their wrist called WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I used to see a lot of people with that band on. Even I saw with it on the shirts, cussing folks out. Now, you got that on you. You got, and also you got those people that walk around with the big crosses on their neck cussing folks out. Now, see, I'm just wondering sometimes, do you really know what you're doing, or do you really know what you're wearing, or you just got on for show? See, there are certain things that you're not supposed to wear just for show. If you're going to wear it to represent. Just like your wedding ring, wear it to represent who you are. Don't just wear it for show. Just like the cross you wear around your neck, wear it to represent. Don't wear it just for show. And there are other rings and things that people do wear that they represent. They don't wear it just for show. I have seen people with certain rings on, and they would represent that ring more than they would represent God. And they would be like, I can't do that, brother, but you know, thank you. But when it comes to other things, they would do what they wanted to do. And see, church, this morning, that's one of the reasons that you can make the devil hate you. We can make the devil hate us in many ways. He already hates us because we are already in the image of God. You know how you look at somebody or a child and you know they say they look just like their dad, they look just like their mama. And imagine if that dad or that mama is a deadbeat dad or a no-good mama. And that child looks like them. And then that person that's involved with that person, that child, every time they see that child, it reminds them of that individual, of the father, the mother of that child. And then every time the devil sees us, he should see God in us.
That's right.
And we should make the devil mad that way. And see, the devil also mad because we got the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm basically tells us that the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah. Uh-huh. Then it goes on in there and says, I shall not want.
That's right.
And see, when you read that verse, you got to really believe that. Do you want for anything this morning?
Right.
No. And then he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The devil is mad in there because of that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. See, God has mercy and grace on you. And then the devil don't like us because God in Matthew chapter 6 gave us the way to communicate with him. He gave us the Lord's Prayer because Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And see, we're praying for this. We're praying for thy kingdom to come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. See, we are praying for God's will to come, not the devil's will to come. We are praying for God's kingdom to come, not the devil's kingdom to come. And therefore, the devil still hates us. He still gets mad. We got to learn how to start making the devil mad and stop letting him make us mad. Because when he makes us mad, he gets us at our weakest point. When you're mad at the devil, when you're mad about something, the devil sends something right in on time to try to soothe you and to get you to do what he wants you to do. He may send it in the form of a person that's no good, but at the time that you needed somebody, you that person was there. He may send it to you in a form of a liquor bottle. That time you needed that soothing, that high, it was just there. He may send it to you in a form into a drugs, and that time that you was going through something, you just needed something to calm your nerves. He may even send it to you in a form of a cigarette. I told you. I'm talking to everybody this morning. He may send it to you in the form of a cigarette. Clearly on the packet says, from the Surgeon General, may cause health complications. May cause cancer. I see people firing them up each and every day. And you know they $5, $6 a pack. I was in line the other day. I saw a man buy a carton, 35 to 35. I'm like, no, buddy, I can't do that. But that was his preference. But what I'm saying is, when the devil sees you at your lowest point, he can get you off balance and off track because you have allowed him to make you mad about something, and so you're just going to do anything to soothe that pain. See? And that's what the devil does. So we got to start making the devil, keep continuously making the devil mad. And that's by prayer, studying, and fasting. And all that will make the devil mad because you're growing your relationship with God. And all those are in the Bible. The Bible tells you how to pray. The Bible tells you to study, to show thyself approved, and the Bible even also tells you how to fast. And fasting, it tells you when you fast. Ain't nobody got to know what you're doing. Don't make your face all ugly and hurtful, and don't walk around like your stomach cramping. Just fast and do what you're going to do for the Lord. Because if you fast and secretly, he'll reward you openly. See, this morning, church, we're going to celebrate in a few minutes the death and the rising of Jesus Christ, who the Father sent so that we can have another chance for everlasting life, so that we can get the things that God had for us before the fall, so that we can see loved ones again who have gone on, so we can never hurt again or go through any kind of lack pain or lack of disrespect. God wants us to get back to Eden, the place he created for us all. Imagine only if the devil had left Adam and Eve alone to be about their father's business. We wouldn't be going through this morning. We wouldn't go through none of the hurt and pain we go through now. The loved ones that's going on would be sitting right beside us right now. The ones that's going through sickness and pain right now, they would not be going through those sickness and pain. The doctor's office wouldn't even be open right now. We wouldn't even have a doctor's office because God would have provided all the need that we need for that. And see, will there be anyone under the sound of my voice today that want to start the right track with God? That's all it is, church. This is not a shouting message this morning. This is a message to make you think because, see, the devil is busy. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to steal your relationship in Files Chapel. He's out to kill your relationship with somebody in the church. And he's definitely out to destroy Files Chapel. So see, church, when the devil makes you mad and when something goes wrong and something going bad, remember who to keep the blame on. Blame the devil, not God, because God is real. God is still in the healing business. God is still in the blessing business. God is still sitting on the throne. And most certainly, God is still God. He is still God. No matter what we're going through, God is still God, church. So I ask you this morning, church. I tell you this morning, church. It started in the garden. But God is going to fix it right back up. He's going to fix it up. He's going to bring everything back around 360 degrees. I know probably that you didn't want to hear that this morning. But as the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me, sometimes you have to see that somebody is hurting. Some people are still hurting. Even though we are adults in here and we all had that relationship, there are kids that are hurting because Reverend Cade has gone on. So don't just think you are the only one hurting, adults only. There are kids also that are hurting. And we as grown-ups, we have to act accordingly because they're watching us to see how we're going to handle things. And once they see how we handle things in a right and godly way, they're going to say, well, God is real. Amen.